Word of God, speak. Pour thou light rain, washing our eyes to see your majesty. Help us to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let us stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we continue our journey through Luke's gospel, and we get more insight into the role and responsibilities involved in working, laboring for Jesus. The harvest is plentiful, he says, but the laborers are few. We hear these words, we might think, what a shame so few people were ready. We might reflect back on the last, on the gospel lessons that we've heard in the last two Sundays and feel bad for those who were not able to follow. But that is not necessarily something we should feel bad about. For example, let's say you went to the doctor because you had a cold, sore throat, runny nose, cough, and a mild fever. The nurse or medical assistant has called you back into the examination room and taken all of your vitals. And then they tell you the doctor will be with you in just a moment. Then while you're waiting, a carpenter walks into the room with a hammer, a saw, and a bag full of nails. Then he walks up to you and he says, open wide and say, ah. Is that who you'd want or need examining you for your cold? Certainly not. There are probably lots of people with colds, and they all probably want the help of a doctor, not a carpenter. So it is not a bad thing that there are a few leaders or laborers. It is a good thing that those 70 representing all the nations of the world known to the writer of Luke at the time, that those 70 were sent out ahead of Jesus because they are prepared to meet the challenges of harvesting this kind of harvest. They have the skill set required. They have the ability to go into the towns like lambs in the midst of wolves, to be vulnerable. They are taking no purse, no bag, no sandals, and to greet no one on the road. Clearly, this is not a glamping trip. No comforts of home. This is important because the laborers don't need anything distracting them as they travel or distracting the harvest from seeing the kingdom of God has come near. A great 18th century man of letters, Dr. Johnson, described it this way after viewing a castle and its policies. These are the things which make it difficult to die. William Barclay summed up Dr. Johnson's statement with these words, earth must never blot out heaven. What we do as we represent Christ in the world must never overshadow the goal of harvesting. Not our beautiful, holy and sacred places, our castles, not our wealth, not our possessions, not even our sandals. Sandals in our lesson today symbolize status, humility, or poverty. By not wearing sandals, the laborers are showing humility, not seeking to impress or stand out as better than. That might be the lesson some of our tele-evangelists could stand to learn, but that's a sermon for another time. But as I think about our laborers, they remind me of a friend of mine. He's a world champion bicyclist. He lives a very modest life. No car, no house, not even an apartment. He lives in a cargo container. At first glance, if you don't take time to see and know him, you'd have no idea how extraordinary a man he is. Every week, basically from early spring to late fall, he leads a bicycle ride called Tour de Hood, which was instrumental in helping me form my Sages in the Hood Good Friday ride. And you guys are always invited to join me on Good Friday. I'll keep you posted. People come from all over the city to ride with Tour de Hood. If someone's bike breaks down, Doc, my friend, can usually fix it in minutes. If you have a flat, he has a portable electric pump and probably a tire tube to fit your wheel. And even if not, I've seen him patch a tire with a dollar bill. I consider him a bicycle expert. But if I'm sitting in the doctor's office with my cold, Doc is not who I want to see walk in the door with his air pump and a dollar bill. The laborers are to greet no one on their way. This does not mean ignore people or be rude, but rather to stay on task. Don't try to treat my cold. Focus on what God has enabled you to do. When I was in college, I had some charismatic friends. One of the biggest turnoffs for me was having them tell me what God told them to tell me. As if I couldn't hear God for myself. They were very zealous, but their approach came off as pushy. And many people quickly turned away or ran away when they saw or heard them coming. Their intentions were good, but their approach was not effective. Maybe they were the ones who couldn't hear, or maybe they misunderstood their role in the spread of God's kingdom. Jesus instructs his laborers to say, "Peace to this house." And to remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide. Do not go from house to house looking for who is having steak instead of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for dinner. When the 70 returned, they rejoiced because they realized even the demons submitted to them. Jesus reminds them that what is really important is not that the spirits submit to them, but that their names are written in heaven. The real reward is not being able to control or command, but that because of your faith and obedience, your name is written in heaven. Harvesting a crop is a specific skill, and harvesting for the kingdom of God is also. We must know and respect our role in the process because we should want to make sure our earthly work doesn't blot out heaven. Proverbs speaks about pride going before a fall. Jesus reminds us that Satan fell from heaven probably because of pride that rebelled against God. Overconfidence can easily become our downfall. Humility and vulnerability are the traits God desires to see in us as we work to spread the kingdom of heaven. William Barclay, in his commentary, the New Daily Study Bible, the Gospel of Luke, puts it this way. It will always remain true that our greatest glory is not what we have done, but what God has done for us. It might well have been claimed that the discovery of the use of chloroform saved the world more than any other single medical discovery. Note that chloroform, although no longer used in this capacity, historically was used as an inhaled anesthetic. Once someone asked Sir James Simpson, who pioneered the use of chloroform as anesthesia, "What do you regard as your greatest discovery?" expecting the answer, "Chloroform." But Simpson answered, "My greatest discovery was that Jesus Christ is my Savior." Even the greatest among us, within the presence of God, can only say, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." Pride bars from heaven. Humility is the passport to the presence of God. Philippians 2:18 tells us that Christ, who being formed in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. May we also walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Amen.